John chapter 16.
John 16, verses 1 to 16. All this I have told you so that you will not fall away. They will put you out of the synagogue. In fact, the time is coming when anyone who kills you will think they are offering a service to God. They will do no such things because they have not known the Father or me. I have told you this so that when their time comes, you will remember that I warned you about them. I did not tell you from the beginning because I was with you, but now I am going to him who sent me. None of you asked me, where are you going? Rather, you are filled with grief because I have said these things. But very truly, I tell you, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will prove the world to be in the wrong about sin, righteousness, and judgment about sin. Because people do not believe in me about righteousness, because I am going to the Father where you can no longer see me no longer, and about judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you in all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me, because it is from me, and that he will receive what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will see from me what he will make known to you. Jesus went on to say, in a little while you will see me no more. And then after a little while, you will see me. So speaks the word of our Lord.
Thank you, Brian. If I cough and splutter my way through this morning, you'll have to forgive me. I'm on the tail end of a cold, and it just seems to have got, so it catches me sometimes like it did when we were praying. I'll do my best not to share my gifts with you on my birthday, but that's how we are. Okay, and for that reason partly, and also time and other things. This morning I want to think about listening well. That's part of what I'm going to talk to you about from this passage here, the importance of listening well. Having told, and if those of you who've been following along with us, we're going through John's Gospel, and you may remember that having told them that he's going and how bad it's going to be for them. At the tail end of chapter 15, he said, look, if they hated me, they're going to hate you as well. It's going to be tough for you. There will be persecution. There will be consequences of following me as a believer. Jesus now goes on to encourage them as to how they're going to manage to get through that, that he's not going to leave them alone. He keeps coming back, actually, to this. It's a recurring theme here about the fact that he's going, but he's going to send the Holy Spirit to them. But there's a personal responsibility in this. I'm going to end up this morning thinking about the work of the Holy Spirit. But before we do, here's the first heading this morning. That's okay. Listening well to Jesus is the key to a peaceful heart. Keep in mind that these are disciples who are, they're concerned, they're upset, and the whole point of Jesus' message to them is to seek to try and allay their fears, trying to just say, look, I know I'm going, and I know you're upset, and I know you're concerned, I know you're confused, but this is what he's trying to say. He's just saying, look, it's not going to be as bad as you think it is. These are the reasons why. You know, for want of listening, the disciples were all confused and concerned. Jesus was talking, trying to explain and comfort and reassure them, but they weren't really listening to what he was saying. They weren't getting what he was saying. Jesus said in verse 5, now I'm going to him who sent me, yet none of you ask me, where are you going? which wasn't strictly true, because here's the interesting thing. Peter had actually asked that exact question. Back in chapter 13, we read in verse 36 that Peter had said, Lord, where are you going? The point that Jesus is making here is not that Peter hadn't said the words, where are you going? But the point was he wasn't really concerned about it. You know what it's like, those of us who are parents, we have children, and they'll ask us a question, but they're not really interested in the answer. Well, why can't you do it, Mum or Dad? And you explain to them, and it comes straight over their head. It makes no difference to them at all, because they're actually not. The fact that you say, you give a perfectly logical, reasoned explanation of why you can't do certain things, it makes no difference, because they're actually not interested in what you're going to do. They're not interested in trying to weigh up one thing being more important than the other. And the thing that you're going to do is actually far more important than the thing that they want to do. No, that's just childish. That's the way children work. And often that's what we're like with Jesus. We ask him a question and we don't wait for the answer. Why is this? Where is that? What for? And so many times Jesus gives us the answers in the Bible. And Jesus had given them the answer. I'm going to the Father, but none of you asked me where am I going? And I said, I'm going to the one who sent me. But they weren't listening. If they had, then their hearts, their minds would not have been so confused. It's so easy for us, for our circumstances and our anxieties and our fears and our worries and our feelings, to prevent us hearing the very clear voice of the Lord Jesus in Scripture, where he makes it quite clear. Promises like, I am with you always. How often our fears and our anxieties and our concerns overpower the truth of what he's saying to us. And I do it, I know I do it at times, and I know that you'll admit that you do it. You ask questions, but we don't listen for the answers. Listening well. I want to appeal to us this morning to listen to what God says. Listen to his word. When you come to church, really try and listen, because you will find the answers in his word, in the songs that we sing, the reassurances, the comfort, the promises. You will find the answers to most of the questions that we have. Try hard not to say yes, but. Because the but that we put in is usually an unbelieving but. It's as if we think, well, that was all right for them, but it's not all right for me. Jesus, Paul said that the yes and amen of God are yes and amen. God doesn't change his mind. He didn't say one thing to one person and another, and something different to someone else. If God has promised something, he's promised it. And he wants you to believe it. Listening well is the key. None of you asked the question, where are you going? They had, but the problem was they weren't listening. So that's the first thing. Second thing, very simple here. God's ways are often not our ways, but they are for our good. In verse 7, Jesus said, but I tell you the truth, it is for your good that I go away. The disciples thought it was anything but that. They couldn't see how it could possibly be better for them that Jesus would leave them. How could separation be better than his presence? Surely this is the way of disaster. How can it possibly be better for us, Jesus, if you're not here? There are times in our lives, are there not, when God does things totally different to our way of thinking? And we think he ought to do it this way, or he ought to do it that way. But he doesn't, and he lets things unfold and unravel. And we think it's the way to disaster. And we think no good can possibly come from this. Times when we're not getting what we want just seems to be the very end. And what is the point of carrying on almost? One of the hardest things, I think, in life is to let go. When we desperately want to hold on to something, maybe a relationship, friendship, financial security, health, a home, a job. We want to hold on to them because our hopes and our dreams are bound up in those things. Sometimes we have to let them go, and it's the hardest thing, isn't it? To willingly let things go. But whilst we, if it's the Lord's will and He says, I want you to let them go, whilst we grasp onto them, while we hold onto them, what we do is potentially spoil those things and we spoil ourselves. There's a hymn that's very dear to me. This verse is in it. We never can prove the delights of God's love until all on the altar we lay. For the favour He shows and the joy He bestows are for those who will trust and obey. I remember sitting in Bethesda Baptist Church many years ago in the gallery, tears streaming down my face because at a particular time in my life I'd had to let something go and I was struggling with it. And we sang this song. And it wasn't easy to let go. But let go I had to. And only in letting go did I then discover and prove all that God had got in line for me in my life. I might say a little bit more about that this evening. And whilst I talk about this evening, last Sunday evening we had the cafe church. And one of the questions that somebody put in, I suspect the way it was written, it might have been by a younger person, but I don't know. The question was a brilliant question. Why do you like Jesus? Why do you like God? I did a quick answer to that last Sunday. But we're going to go into that a little bit more this evening. We should have had Steve Jay preaching this evening. Steve isn't well and is not able to come. And it just felt right. Today it's my birthday. You know, you reflect a little bit around certain time. I mean, birthday, what are birthdays? But you reflect a little bit. And I just thought, I would like to look at that a little bit more. And I'm going to share with you tonight is a little bit of a testimony, really. Why I love Jesus. Come along and share with me. And what I'd like is for you to have opportunity as well, maybe, to share why you love Jesus. Why is Jesus special to you? I'm going to look a little bit theologically, and I'm going to share a little bit of personal testimony. 52 years old, and I think it's good to just look back and think, that's why I'm glad I'm a Christian. That's why I'm glad that I follow Jesus. That's why I'm glad, you know, to be His child. I'm not ashamed of it, and the older I get, the more I love Him. Do you find that, those of you, you know, the older you get, the more you appreciate Him? I don't know. I am getting old, I'm sure. But it just means more to me. So that's what we're going to look at tonight. And I just flag that up. If you can come tonight, please do. Not to hear me, but it would be wonderful to share with one another. Why you love Jesus. You might just have one thing that He's done in your life. Something that He's doing at the moment. Something that He's done in the past. Some way He's revealed yourself that's convinced you of His truth and His presence and His power and His reality. Come along tonight and we'll try and share a few of our stories together. How did I get onto that? That's right, because of this incident that I had. Where I just melted into tears and it was hard and I wrestled with God. But having got through that, I proved letting go is hard, but it's always best when He wants us to. Okay, third thing. And here we come to this ministry of the Holy Spirit. The presence of the Holy Spirit more than makes up for not having Jesus around. The Holy Spirit living in us more than makes up for not having Jesus in the flesh. I've thought it many times, and I'm sure you have. Oh, if only Jesus was here and I could ask Him. If Jesus was here, it would be different. But Jesus said, it is actually better for you that I go away. It's better for you that I'm not going to be here in the present physically with you. You see, the thing that the Holy Spirit would do was that the Holy Spirit would teach them more and enable them to do more than if Jesus had stayed with them in the flesh. Whilst Jesus was with them, He was just one man. And He could only be in one place at one time. When the Holy Spirit came, then He was going to come and He is with each of us. In every place, in every circumstance. Now that feels to me like a bit of a good deal. I don't know about you. But let's say that Jesus was alive today. Let's just, you know, he's the ageless one. Where would he be? He'd probably be living, let's say he's living in Israel. But he can't be with us here. Maybe we could set up a Skype call with him and he could give us, you know, 2 or 3 minutes and we could benefit from him speaking directly to Witten Baptist Church. Maybe every once in a blue moon we'd get a direct personal message from him. Maybe we could read his letters that he could send to us. Do you know what? God the Holy Spirit is with us today. He's with you here now. And when you go home, God the Holy Spirit is going to go with you and he'll be with you. God the Spirit of Jesus is in you, with you every moment of every day. Now a different person and in a different form, but still it's God the Holy Spirit. And he'd given these disciples, back to the disciples, a commission. I want you to go into all the world. And he said, you're going to carry on the work. And they probably thought, but what can we do? How can we change people's minds? No worries, says Jesus. The Holy Spirit is going to be in you and he will do that. You just give the word and he'll supply the power. He will make it effective. The NIV that I've got in front of me, speak about the Holy Spirit, the work of the Holy Spirit. He says, unless I go away, the counselor will not come to you. I will send him to you. When he comes, he will, the word he uses is convict. Brian's translation uses the word prove. I think convict is a slightly easier word to understand. Convict the world of guilt. And he says he'll convict the world. It means he'll make them feel bad. He will prick their conscience. He will prick the conscience. This is what the Holy Spirit will do. And he'll do it in 3 ways. In regards to sin, in regards to righteousness, and in regards to judgment. Very briefly, what he's saying here. When he talks about sin, he's saying he will convince people about who he is. If you read the text, this is what it's about. He will change people's minds about Jesus. Isn't that what happened with many of us? Some of you very distinctly. Somebody like myself, I grew up always believing in Jesus. But some of you grew up and you didn't believe in Jesus. He was a fairy story. He wasn't real. Your mind was changed very directly about Jesus. That was the work of the Holy Spirit. He convicted you. Made you realize that Jesus was a real person. He also works in people, unbelievers, about the way they live. He gives them a sense of conscience about the things that they do. And that's part of what happens before somebody becomes a Christian. They'll start to have a conscience about the way they're living. Not just about the way they think about Jesus, but about the way they live, the things they say, the language they use. Some of you here this morning would say, you know, I used to swear and I used to do this and I used to do that. And I began to realize that wasn't right. And I began to realize it was wrong. And when you became a Christian, one of the things you had to do, as we should all do, by the way, is we have to repent of those things. We have to say sorry because we realize that they're bad. And the other thing that he'll do is make people realize about judgment. You know, the thing that really brought me to the crisis point of repentance and faith in Jesus was realizing that unless I actually, not only that I believed in Jesus, the devil believes in Jesus, but he's not saved. I grew up believing in Jesus. I'd always been to Sunday school. I went to church 3 times on a Sunday. You know that. There was no question about that. But one day, the preacher, David Steer, for those of you who know, was preaching at a youth rally, and he talked about hell, and he talked about judgment, and I realized that unless I really did say sorry for my sins, I was on the way to hell. And that was what got me there that night. He convinced me of hell, and that's what he does with people. Convincing me of the day of judgment, that I'm going to stand before the Lord one day and I'm going to have to give an account. And that's what brings many people to the point of conversion. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. Now, when we give out our leaflets, this is why I say prayer is important. We need to pray that the Holy Spirit will start to convict people. That he will convict them and convince them of the truth of Jesus. That he'll change people's attitudes to Jesus. That he'll change their attitudes to the way they're living and the way they're thinking about righteousness. And that he would challenge them, and maybe they won't even be expecting it, but about their eternal condition and the fact they're going to stand one day before Jesus. We don't mention hell and judgment in the leaflet, but many of them would have heard about it before. There will be homes, many people's homes, where they've gone through Sunday school, they've gone through Girls Brigade, they've gone through Boys Brigade, they've gone through the different youth organizations. They used to go to church, many people, and have turned their back away, turned away from the Lord. Let's pray. Will you pray, please, that the Spirit will use this in ways we can't understand? We might think, how can we make a difference? How can we challenge people? How can we get them to believe? At the end of the day, it's not down to us. Praise God. As a pastor, if it was down to me to convince people, I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing, because I'd have realized years ago that I'm useless at it. I can't change a person's mind, but God can. The Spirit can. That's why we have to pray. That's why prayer is important. Please, please, please pray. But very briefly, not only does the Holy Spirit work in pricking people's consciences, the unbeliever about conscience, he will also remind us who are believers now. He will teach us and he will encourage us. He will teach and encourage the believers. What we don't understand, Jesus says, look, what you don't really understand at the moment, the Spirit's going to come and he's going to flesh out. He will lead you into all truth. In here he says, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He'll not speak of his own, he'll speak only what he hears. He will bring glory to me by taking what is mine and making it known to you. To you who are believers. So the work of the Spirit is to help us understand. So when we come to church on a Sunday, when we read the Bible, when you read your Bible at home, part of the work of the Spirit is to help you understand it. So it's not just about depending on the pastor and the preacher, whoever it might be. You know, yeah, please pray for me that I might make the way of God plain as I possibly can. But do come with a prayer that the Spirit himself will help you to understand. Even to understand my jumbled, muddled words at times. That the Spirit will be at work. So it's not just about me and how well I do. I know I go out sometimes and I think, that was awful. You know, just sometimes I get halfway through a sermon, I think, oh, let's just stop now. You know, because I'm struggling and you're probably struggling. In those situations, what has always amazed me is when I've struggled, actually, God has done something that I didn't realize. It's not about me, it's about the words. Do pray that the Spirit will come and be our teacher and our helper and our guide. This is why grounding in the Bible is so important. Because the Spirit will not bring to us anything new, as he did the disciples in Jesus' day. They were one-off. We don't have apostles in that sense these days. There is no new truth. Everything we need to know about God and salvation, everything we need to know is there. It's revealed for us. So the more we get to know the Bible, it's through the Bible that God speaks to us. That's why we need to listen well to the Bible. Listen well when we read it. Listen well when we come to church. Don't just switch off when it comes to the sermon. Try and keep engaged. When you read at home, as I hope you do on a regular basis, try and start off and pray a prayer. Lord, speak to me and help me to listen. But listen, because it may challenge you. It might not be what you want to hear. You need to listen. It may be challenging you to change something. It may be giving you reassurance. And he's saying, he's almost screaming at you through the word. Just listen to it and believe it and take it and say, Lord, if that's what you're saying, then I'm going to stand on it. There are promises I'm standing on at the moment. And I'm just trusting God to bring them through. I see no evidence of them, but he said that that's what he's going to do. I'll tell you one of them. It's people getting saved. People getting saved. I believe that God's going to save people. If I didn't, let's pack up, let's go home. Stand on his promises. If I didn't believe that, I'd give up. Because I'm not clever enough to do it by myself. Believe the promises. Believe his word. Take them. Listen to the word of God. Listen. Wow. Let's pray. Music team, could you come and join us at the front? A brief prayer, and we're going to sing a song about the promises of God. Father,